Okay. Davarave. So the Gemara on Ayin Hema base, the Mishnah really, the beginning of the parak, says that there's an exception to this Heter Chazara for a case of Davarave. So what's the Mishnah's case? So Gabe, since you're here, you want to read the Mishnah for us?
Is the word Mishra or Misra?
I thought it's Mishra, but... Yeah, so what does this Mishnah introduce?
It introduces two kinds of Davar
Aved. Yeah. Yeah, two kinds of Davar Aved.
So one is, there's an immediate event, and so you need to prepare something for an immediate event.
Like the wedding or the funeral, you need the band to show up.
Exactly. Or there's labor that needs to be done, and if you don't do it immediately, the materials will spoil.
That's right. That's the flax case, right? The soaking flax. The Mishnah calls this a chol davar aved. If you can't mitigate and find replacement workers, what's the rule? Sochar leinu matan, right? Which is some remedy, which is roughly what?
You can hold them responsible for whatever payment is necessary to replace them.
Yeah, right. More or less, you could hold the workers necessary for whatever it's going to cost you to hire new ones. And matan is even clearer. Matan is, Gabe, right? You could trick them. You could say, hey, I was going to pay you $100, and you're backing out, but I'll pay you $500 to get the job done. And then you're not obligated to pay them the $500 because they had a duty to perform it at the original price. That's the matan example, right? It's kind of radical, right, Gabe? Yeah.
Okay. That's
well, okay, you see the Gemara in Vavim and Beis, actually in the next source, the very top of 37, says, Ketzad matan, Omer lahen, sela katsasi lahen, bo'ot lushtayim. Right, and you're not obligated to pay them that amount. So see, that's a significant kind of remedy for davar ha'aved. Now, it could be an open question. We'll see the Achrona debate this, whether you could compel, in a davar ha'aved case, could you compel the guy to finish the job through like the coercive means of Beis Din? It's a recurring theme that's been coming up, right? If you have a duty to complete the job, could they be forced to complete it? So Adam wants us to define davar ha'aved, and that's exactly what I intend to do. No, because you might, we'll see that some Achronim say explicitly, I think the Marit has this also, that these are just remedies in the absence of being able to be kofa them. Of course you could be kofa them because they have a duty to do it. The Chiddush is that you could also impose the cost of completion on a third, you could impose your cost of completion by hiring a third party on them, and you could even lie to induce them to get the job done.
What?
Right, but I think it's derived from the fact that they have an obligation to finish the job. What else is Beis Din there for if not to enforce these duties? Except for Davar Aved. Right, Davar Aved is an exception of the Zchus Chazara.
It seems very mechudash.
It could be. I mean, it depends, right? I mean, it depends what you think. It is. I think there, it assumes that the allowance for matan and sochar aleihen just stems from their obligation to finish the job. Right, now, you might say there's a general presumption halacha against kfiya. That's an interesting question. But we'll see that a lot of Rishonim think that there isn't. Right? If you have a duty to get a job done, then you have a duty to get it done. I'll just point you to this language of the Marit, actually. We'll come back to this later. Look on page 40. Right in the middle of page 40, they have a bolded section from the Marit. He says, "V'lo amru sochar aleinu matan, ela lefi she'eino yachal lachofosh, im haya motze bezin, hayu kofen oso bal karcho." See that? Middle of page 40, the bold section.
Can you highlight?
You see that?
Yeah.
"V'lo amru sochar aleinu matan, Elo lefi she'eno yachal lachofo. She'im hayamotze bezin, are you kofen oso bal karcho?" See that? So he's saying that these are just remedies in the absence of a bezin that's able to enforce it. Gabe, do you see it on page 40?
I have a different definition of which makar is
this? This is the long marit.
It's very long.
So, he makes that point explicitly. We'll talk about that actually. We'll talk about that in greater length. Eitan, you have a comment already?
Yeah, just have a question. Let's say we have a case. It's like hypothetical. I'm wondering if it's similar to this best and like compelling someone. Let's say it's a unique type of skill where like he's the only one.
Yeah.
Can do it. Is there, because there's an inability to kind of find a replacement, does that fall into the category of like this?
Hold off on that question, because that's exactly what we want to figure out. What constitutes dabra aved? Right?
Yeah, that is dabra
for sure.
Sugya, case, but it's different because there's...
We'll see examples of it.
Do you have a sense of why this is an exception to dabra aved?
Say it again?
Does the Gemara have any indications to why this is an exception to dabra?
No, the Gemara is always very cryptic on this. Right? The Gemara doesn't tell us the reason why. But just say that, Bamed Varmurim, that the pole has Chus Chazara, Bedavar Sheino Avod. Doesn't tell us why. I'd imagine that this is because that even though the halacha is interested in giving the poel the power to be free and back out, it's not willing to do so if it's going to impose a major cost on the balabais. Right, so it does. Yeah. So there's like an, you know, it does recognize that there's an agreement here, and the poel is obligated to abide by the agreement. Yes, he has his chus chazara, but not if it's going to impose an irreparable cost or cause an irreparable loss for the Baal Bias. Donnie, please.
Could you say that it's basically what you're saying, but it's like the poel actually has more power than the usual case. Because of this time-sensitive nature of it, whatever they do, they have a lot more power over the work than a regular poel case.
Who has more power over the work?
The poel themselves.
But they have no right. Why do they have no right to back out in a dabra aved case?
Meaning the Torah is looking out for the power imbalance of being like an eved, that you, if you're a full eved here, it's not there as much. Because
I don't know, because they can mess over the Baal Abayis.
Yeah.
The sense that I get is that the issue is more about authority. It's more about the authority. In general, like the issue with the poel is that the Baal Bais' authority over him, right? The poel is enu yachal lehisbatel. Like, the playing field is not even by the fact that the poel can mess over the Baal Bais.
But it's kind of like being this, like, maybe.
It doesn't make the poel into an authority over the employer, right? So the way I see it more is that, Allah, of course, it has both considerations in mind. It wants to uphold the agreement.
Yeah.
But it wants to give the worker greater freedoms, so generally it'll give the worker great freedoms, except for the case where it's going to harm the Baal Abayis.
Like, unless you want to say that, instead of saying that it's not, it's, how I'm saying it is, it's taking him out of this obvious status. It's not that he
the mere fact that he's working on
it's not that he
habit.
Has an upper hand, but he has another right. card to play.
I don't think so. I don't see it that way. You know, I don't see like a Marxist. You know, you can't tell a Marxist that you can't sell this argument to a Marxist saying like, "Hey, workers are not really being exploited by the petite bourgeois, whatever it is, right? You're not being exploited by the landowners in virtue of the fact that if you all strike, they won't have any money, right? That's kind of the argument you're trying to sell. You're trying to sell like, oh, the dependency of the Baal Abayis on the poel makes the poel into a non-eved.
Yeah,
and I think. Well, I mean,
I hear it's a little weak.
Right. So my brain is a little simpler, right? It's kind of like, hey, we have two interests here, and in Dabra Aved, we know that the worker's freedom comes at a cost of the Baal Abayis, so generally we'll protect it, but not if the cost is too high.
I guess the reason why I want to make that move is just because it's like, he's still an Eved, though, in this case.
Right.
So, like,
you want him to be free of avdus altogether.
Yeah, because then you get rid of the problem of he
So I think another different way of looking at it is saying that maybe, you know, the assumption is that a dover of it is not a permanent, and by definition it's time bound.
Yeah.
And so that's not gonna be so pervasive in dominating the poel relationship. Yeah. Right. That would mitigate this concern, but it's true that there will be cases where he's locked in for a certain, at least for a fixed amount of time, of the Dabra Aved. The problem that we'll see, though, is that depending on how you define Dabra Aved, it might turn out that almost everything is like a Dabra Aved, depending on how we define it. Adam, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I mean, maybe for looking for figure out, like, what's the origin of signals, from where does this need to fulfill the obligation with the federal, where does that come from? And why is he also financially obligated? There's nothing clear on the contract that matters.
Yeah. So this good. So we'll talk about this. We'll talk about more at the end of the sugya. One way to think of it is just that it follows from your having a duty to complete the job that you're going to be liable for the cost of completion. I think that was the Rikivagar that we saw in Drush V'Chiddush earlier in the year. Like for a Kablan, for example, if he has a duty to complete the job, implicit in that duty is the liability to cover the costs.
Right, but this is more a Kablan than a Kablan. Kablan we don't take out of his pocket.
Well, Rabbi Akiva thought you would. And in cases where he's chayv a kablan bekinyan, in cases where he's chayv to finish the job, he would be liable for the full cost of completion. So I think that would be an analogous principle here. We'll see. Other Rishonim think that there's a special halacha, it's like a special halacha of nezikin almost, that he's causing you a loss with nothing to do with contract.
It depended on the nature of the other. It was a natural occurrence that he had no.
Yeah, 100%. So let's see, Nezikin is going to be a separate route that Rishonim go. A third route that Rishonim go is Arev. That implicit in some agreements is a voluntary liability to like indemnify the other party from costs that come about. Achiv mitam Arev, which we'll talk about separately in this at the end of this discussion. Okay.
Is this different from the...
What?
From the duty to mitigate discussion we have?
Yeah, I think this would be different from the duty to
mitigate. Then you have to track like the same three options.
Yeah. Well, we saw this in the Chazara de Balabayas a little bit, because some Rishonim were arguing by analogy to Devar Aved.
Ah, okay.
So that we saw that same trifecta there.
And then they're going to track.
So yeah, so yes. Okay, so the point, I just want to make one point before we start defining Devar Aved. It's important to be clear about this, and I think Rashi is pretty clear about this, that remember, the Gemara is explicit that a poel hachozer bo yado ha'alyona, which implies what? What does the fact of yado ha'alyona imply? So, anybody. So, davar ha'aved, we're contrasting these cases of davar ha'aved with the cases of chazar de poel yado ha'alyona. Yod al-Yona implies, it must imply, that there's an added cost to the balabayas. Right? That's what Yod al-Yona means. The poel could back out even when there's an added cost imposed to the employer. So that means that by definition, a davar ha'aved cannot be any case where there's an imposed cost. It can't be every case where there's an imposed cost, because then every case of chazar de poel would be a davar ha'aved. Right? The whole point of Rav Dosa and the Chacham, the Rav Dosa says, the Chachamim say that Yada Pol Al Yona, the Balabayas has to absorb the extra cost imposed upon him by the Pol's breach. So that's a very important background constraint, right? Because you'll see once we start looking at the poskim here, it'll start sounding like every cost is a Devar Aved. And I just want to point out from the get-go that can't be. In virtue of the fact that the Gemara is trying to distinguish the cases of Chazar with Yada Al Yona from the cases of Devar Aved. I think Rashi's pretty clear about this. Rashi here in Ayin Vav Mem Beis, so here on page 37. Rashi's Bamedvar Amurim, De'ein hachuzer nifsad el lafi cheshbon l'Rav Dosa, l'Rabbanan mekablan v'masha asu. Right, so by Machlokas Rav Dosa and the Chachamim had to calculate the Poel's breach in a non-Davar Ha'aved case. According to Rav Dosa, he suffers a little bit of a loss, right? Your shaman fi masha asid lasos, and according to Chachamim yado aliona, and your shaman masha asa. That's going to be in contrast to the liability in davar aved case, which is socher le and umatan. As Rashi here points out, socher biyoser michte schara. That the liability of a poel for a regular case, a non davar aved case, is capped at forfeiting his entire compensation. He's never going to go into the negative. For the Devar Aved case, the poel could sometimes go into the negative. So we know that there's a different remedy, different penalty, and we know that there's got to be a difference in definition between what constitutes chazara with an extra cost and what constitutes Devar Aved. Okay. One other ha'ara before we get to the definition of Devar Aved. Notice the Rambam's formulation in Schiros Perek Tes, which gets picked up later by the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says that in a case of a Devar Aved, Eino yachal lachzor. See that formulation? So not just that there's the Mishnah didn't really, the Mishnah and Gemara didn't really say that. They just said, I mean, they said pol yachal lachzor b'chatzi ayom b'amid v'amum dav she'eino avod. But the Rambam here is telling us it's not just that the remedies are different. There's no permission to back out, right? There's no allowance. So it sounds like it's prohibited for Poel to back out in a case of Davar Aved.
Probably also based on Kofin question.
Yes, 100%. So I think Kofin would follow from Einu Yachal Lachzor. Although you might say Einu Yachal Lachzor, but we don't want to ever compel people to do things. But yes, I think this would be the basis for saying that Kofin.
I think the read is possible a little bit different. When I read Yachal Lachzor, then I skip to next. Right? It means in the Al-Khalatsur is like you can be closer and not have financial responsibility.
Right, but that follows from the fact that in the Al-Khalatsurbo. You might have said that's Yachalasurbo, just you bear certain penalties. So I wouldn't put that as an Afkamina. I wouldn't put that as the Nafkamina. I would say just the Nafkamina is the permit, is it mutter? Right? Is it mutter just you absorb the costs? Or is it usher?
Well, why would it be mutter usher? What does the court say it's usher?
Because you're wronging that you have a contract, and you'd be wronging your employer by backing out. Regardless of, it's like nezek, right? Usher lahazik ulashalim masha hizik. We saw last year, right? Same idea over here. Don't think that davar aved whole davar aved retains the fundamental idea that pol yachal lachzor bo. Just it says you have to pay. You have to pay to play, right? Don't think that. Rather, a poel fundamentally has no right to back out. He has a duty to remain. See that?
Yeah.
That's the one I want to make. Okay. Any comments on this? Yoni?
Rami seems to agree with Rashi about whether you can still hurt your term based haram.
Yeah, we'll talk about Yoni next time. Yeah, that formulation here in the Rami is very interesting. Im hayolem mamon tachas yado. Sorry.
So that you get the full salary.
Yeah, you only get the full salary,
and then if they have other money in your possession.
We'll talk about that. That's very important for distinguishing Davar Aved from these other cases.
Right, which is what you're
talking
about in Rashi.
Hold off on that. We're going to talk about that at the end of the Sugya more, what the remedies are. Let's try to figure out how to define Davar Aved. So Gabe pointed out very accurately that the Mishnah itself seems to have two different classes of Aved. And this is the Ritva Sahara and Ayin Heim and Beis. Gabe, do you want to read the Ritva for us? We're not going to cover Aved B'Trei Gavni.
Yeah, that wasn't my hand. That was a Ritva before.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me try to read the Kavu and Beis. Perish.
You have to read the whole thing, just the underlying section.
We're not going to cover Aved B'Trei Gavni. Oh, Sheish Bavay, Yes, Ramon Mamish, Dome, Dila Havos, Kishten, Amin, and Mishra. Oh, when you have said Ritzon, or Shal Nasas, Kavas, or Unis, Akhrin, Masat, Kigon, Tahit,
Yeah. So what are the two different kinds of Davar Aved?
Yeah, financial cost or Hefsed Ratzon.
Yeah. Very interesting, right? So the first one is very straightforward, right? It's you're going to suffer a monetary loss. That's Davar Aved. Now, I want to point out, I think it's got to be a little more than just Avedas Mamon, because there's going to be Avedas Mamon also in the Yadu Al Yona Nisrat Nisyakra Poalim case, right? So you're going to lose money even in the permissible case where poel is chozer in virtue of the fact that the cost of labor went up. So this has got to be something more emergent, even though the ritual doesn't really tell us. But it sounds like you're going to lose like some property or something. That's the first case of Davar Aved, the second case. Okay, what's the second case?
The second case is Hefsed Ratzon.
Yeah. Hefsed Ratzono Shelo Nasas Kavanaso. So how do you make sense of that? As an economist.
When it's too late.
Okay.
Whenever an opportunity disappears for good. As an
okay. So your preference hasn't been satisfied.
And can never be satisfied.
Yeah.
What if you talk to mean? According to
that
reading, what if you talk
to yeah. So it's kind of a funny...
Dachin sounds like it's like you're waiting for the tafrik and the dead body's there.
It's going to be a little like...
Coming,
you want the chasana to start on time, right? You want the wedding to start at 6, and now it's going to start at 7:30. It almost yeah, sounds
is
like that.
Is it being delayed, or is it like you're going on without that?
Right, so the first part sounds like it's Mamish Hefsed Ritzono Shlonas Kavanaso, right? You wanted a wedding with a band, now you're going to have a wedding without a band.
Yeah.
Yoni isn't pointing out that Misachar and Maisav sounds like, oh, it's Hefsid Ratzono Shlo Nasas Kavanaso, in that the schedule has been set back.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh, yeah, of course you're not going to have a wedding without a band. You just have to wait a few hours. That's you want. Which, so there are two really haros to make here. I guess each is just a more severe version of, one is a more severe version of the other. And that is, look, Hefsid Mamon, I think, is intuitive, Dever Haved, right? We can understand that. What he calls Hefsid Ritzono Shalonasis Kavanaso is a much weaker form of Dever Haved, right? So you didn't get what you wanted. And Yoni's read goes to an even greater extreme. And so you didn't get what you wanted at the time that you wanted it to happen. Right? Which is like a very low threshold for Dever Haved. Right? And both of them constitute the Dever Haved exception for the Zchus Po'al Lachzor. So I just want to point out that there's going to be a problem here that you don't want to be too... Yeah, because then you're going to blur the boundary, right, between the cases of Chozer with Yadu HaLiona and these cases of Dever Haved. So why would I ever hire somebody to do something if I don't want the work to be done? Right? Whenever I hire you to do something, that means that my ratzon is for it to be done, which means that every time you breach, there's going to be Hefsid Ratzoni, Lonasis Kavanasi in the most ideal way possible. So I think if you go too far in this ritva direction, you're going to get stuck and you're never going to have a non-Dever Haved case.
I'm still thinking these are really mean, stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's saying it's... How is there a Hefsid... Like, oh, Hefsid... You could formulate it as like Hefsid of time or something like that, but it's not... Like, you got your Ratzon at the end of the day. Like, that's...
Well, that's Hefsid Ratzon, right? So your Ratzon was to have a wedding at 6 o'clock. You got a wedding at 7 o'clock.
But it's like...
Well, your Kavana was to have a 6 o'clock wedding.
Yeah, like...
Think of, like, the Starkest Yeki that you know.
Okay.
Right? You know, it's like,
so that, but that sounds like... it sounds like it should be formulated more as, like, Zaman. Like,
yeah. Than, like, I'm comfortable... So that's Yoni's read, right? That the Misachar and Maisav is...
That's like the
qualifies the Hefsid Ratzon.
I don't even understand, like you said, the first part. Like,
yeah. I think the Ritva is a Chiddush even just on the first part, right? Hefsid Ratzono. Again, that's what... So I think the idea there is you wanted a wedding with a band. You got a wedding without a band. There's real loss. Is it quantifiable in terms of monetary loss? No. But there is a real Hefsid Ratzon that's significant, that constitutes of rabbi.
I think that would make sense that, like, you work with that if it didn't have the second, if it didn't have
the Misachar and Maisav.
Yeah. It sounds, because that sounds like it's one thing, right? It's not like two.
Right. So I think you could read them as going hand in hand. Meaning, so let's say they had to postpone the wedding for 2 days because they couldn't get a band until 2 days later. It's the same idea, really, as you wanted a wedding with a band. Oh, you had to push everything off now and messes up your plans. It really messes you over. That messes over your preference wasn't satisfied in the right way. That's the underlying idea. I think the machlokas in Yoni and my reading is more about a degree of how far you go with it. Adam. Go ahead, Adam, in the back.
I don't think it's as radical as it appears. I think it's actually very sensitive to the reading in Gemara. That what's going on when he calls a Hefsid, and what's the point at which Hefsid is it? Can you find someone who does a job? And that's what it's talking about. Like, was your Kavana, like, destroyed? Like, did you get your job done? Like, you could find someone. Obviously,
Correct.
Will you have been happy if you were able to find someone right away?
Whether you could find other pole and, like, that right. part of the Gemara.
So, like, if that's the read of it, then it's not that crazy. Like, every time you were closer, it's only if you're closer you can find someone. For a specific job that you
but isn't
done.
It going to be the case that every time you're chozer and can't, let's say you're chozer and you find somebody at a higher cost, right?
Yeah.
So is that Hefsid Ratzono Shalonasis Kavanaso? I wanted a band for, you know, $20 or whatever, $1,000 instead of $2,000.
Right. The way that the Gemara presents those two cases are different. There's being chozer in the sense where I'm chozer and this thing's slightly more expensive. Being chozer where apparently I can't find someone and somehow they will find someone to do it for 10 times the amount. So clearly that's for some reason a different case.
Okay, but I'm saying you can imagine that anytime, if you hire somebody to do something, anytime they don't do it, there's going to be Hefsid Ratzono.
Not necessarily. Not if you can find someone else.
Right, except for the cases where you could perfectly mitigate.
Right.
So
that's really what Dumar is talking about. And I think that's what he's pointing at. And I don't think that's all expensing as one would make would regularly think. Like,
right.
It's not so hard to find another healer.
I think also just speaks to how common it is. Adam's just speaking. Like, it's really not that hard for it to find.
Right, usually you'll find a replacement.
It's perfectly mitigated.
Right.
That's pretty easy to do.
But I wanted you to do it. You're my tailor. I wanted you to tailor the suit. Isn't that Hefsed Ritzono?
You're just going
to
think so. You don't think so. You're just trying to question that. Like, there clearly has to be alignment to be drawn.
Yes.
Like, we just don't know where that line is to be drawn.
Correct. Well, I'm saying, I know there's a line to be drawn. I'm saying the Ritva pushes it very close to almost, except for your cases of like where you perfectly can mitigate.
Well, I think that's most cases. But I think it's just he's reading it very carefully.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. Ben.
But yeah, like the
yeah, we'll get to the Pisic Potion, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that might be maybe implied in some way for the fact that the Gemara uses the examples of Mage and Kala. I mean, this isn't like, you know, you wanted a hot dog that got burnt.
Correct.
So, like, you're upset because
they're big deals. The funeral and
things that happen once in your life.
Yeah.
These are like big deals.
Correct.
Wedding, a funeral.
I agree with that. I think the Ritva should have.
He didn't clarify that.
Yeah, right. Obadika Hefsed Ritzon. I'm saying that formulation is very broad, right? Now you're right to say, oh, the Gemara's cases are these extraordinary cases, right? A wedding and a funeral, right? But that's not, I just don't see that qualification in the Ritva, Gabe.
I guess the question about what the grounds for the Dabar Havi has to come into play in this conversation, because like if you're in a Nezik framework, but you really can't say the second half of the Ritva.
You can't say it?
The second half of the Ritva.
Oh, so that's an interesting question. I think you might be able to. We'll talk more about Nezek versus the contract basis for liability. I think you could talk about Hefsed Ritzon as a kind of Nezek. So if I understand Gabe's question? So Gabe's question is really, he's saying that if the ground of liability here is a kind of Nezek, it's hard to understand how there could be a Chiv Nezek for just Hefsed Ritzon. Right? Well,
how do you quantify that?
So that's what I was going to respond. That,
or if it's not quantifiable, then maybe it has to, doesn't it?
Well, that's the interesting question. So I think you could.
You're saying it's like kind of like sentimental stuff. Like,
yeah, stuff we saw last year, right? The argument I would say is that if you look at the, as Yoni pointed out, if you look at the Hemshech of the Ritva, which actually you have here on the top of 38, he says, oh, if it's a case of Hefsed Mammon, then the Poelim will be on the hook to pay you for the Hefsed Mammon. But if it's Lekka Ela Hefsed Ritzon in the Davar Tashlumin, there's no compensation. So I still think that that's consistent. There might be an Isser Lahazik, right? And there might even be a duty to cover your costs of preventing the Nezek of Hefsed Ritzon from occurring ex ante, lechatchila, even if there's no ex post facto compensation for the loss, because there's no way to quantify the hefset. So you could definitely talk about a chiyuv nezikin as it's usher to do it, and because it's usher to do it, you're going to be liable for all the preventative costs that the Baal HaBayis is going to undertake, i.e. socher aleinu matam. The only thing that you won't be liable for is like ex post facto, because there's no market value difference, arguably. We'll talk more about it when we talk about Nezek. Look at the Sma's definition of Davar Aved, Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Katan Yad Zayin. B'davar She'eino Aved, Yoni, you want to read it for us? B'davar She'eino Aved, Pirish?
Pirish Eino Tzorech She'avod.
Yeah. So his definition of Davar Aved is it sounds like there's some urgency, right? So if it's not a Davar Aved, if there's no urgency for its completion, which is consistent with the cases in the Mishnah. Look at the next smash, and let me give him a little ches. Yeah. So what do you think of the... Are those two separate criteria that have to be satisfied? It's got to be urgent. And if it's not done urgently, the thing's going to be destroyed. So here's an example. Here's what I'm thinking about where they might come apart. Unless any of you have a suggestion where it's Tzorech Shah and Yiskalkel would come apart.
Just
Right, so it's urgent, and if it's not done urgently with haste, the, you know, that thing that you wanted accomplished will be destroyed.
Well, there's two separate
cases. Well, I'm thinking that, do both of these criteria need to be met in order for it to be Mugdar Zadavar Avod?
Question about the wedding.
With urgency mean otherwise.
So take the wedding, yeah, take the wedding example, right? So you might think that, look, a wedding without a band, it's not just that I need the band for Tzurich Shah by tonight, that there's a, I need it within a certain amount of time, but a wedding's not gonna be the same, right, without a band. Like, oh, you ruined the wedding by not showing up, right? Whereas, like, maybe if I was gonna have, like, some fancy, band's not here, but 17 years aged, you know, alcohol at the wedding. Well,
it's underage alcohol.
Then, you know, it's true that I put in that delivery to make the wedding, I put in that delivery to make the wedding better, but I wouldn't say that it was niskalkel because that thing wasn't there.
Why not? If it's not Tzurich Shah, I feel like the two things are...
It is Tzurich Shah, right? So I put in the order to have it here for tonight. So if you don't get it done now, I'm not going to have it. So there's like a certain urgency to it. But it's not the kind of thing that yiskalkel my desire. Like, it's not that the wedding will be destroyed and if it doesn't show up.
Isn't that a very narrow view of yiskalkel? Like, what do you...
Yeah, I think, like, yiskalkel is like, there's going to be some real problem.
Well, it's you're saying it's preventative of the thing happening.
No, but yiskalkel is amending the next part. Loi mamlachim, yeah.
Right. If you don't get this done, then, like...
So the answer is yes, it is kalkel. The point is not... Like, you're focusing on whether or not there was kalkel, whether there's some type of destructive or you know, adverse effect.
Would it be destructive if it doesn't...
The point of the argument is not a question of whether or not the adverse effect. The question is whether or not... Is there an adverse effect specifically if it happens now? If it doesn't happen now. And the answer is yes. Like, it doesn't help you if you get the 17, you know, year old...
The day after the wedding.
The day after the wedding. I'm hoping.
Think so? Applies to physical destruction, but the case of the
flesh. Does it happen? Like, why does the case of the mission with the wedding music?
Well,
the case of the
I think the wedding music
is
an example. The wedding will be messed over if it doesn't have the band. It's not going to be a ruin.
It will be as great if the alcohol.
Right. That's the point I'm getting. Yeah, right. So the alcohol, I think, is definitely Tzurich Shah. Right, I put in the order. It's urgent for it to get here tonight, but it's not a sine qua non for the wedding being a good wedding, right? So it's not. You wouldn't say niskalkel
achasana. Why are you defining it like that? Why is it like it's like you're saying if it diminishes it a little bit, it doesn't ruin the wedding,
right?
Like,
without this liquor, there's still going to be a wedding. Right, however, if there's no band, the wedding, it's such an integral
Isn't that subjective? Like, how do you...
Well, fine, yeah, that Badavar Avod is going to be suggestive. So it's going to be subjective. It's always going to be Nasus Ritzono is going to be subjective. That's right, the Ritzono.
Yeah.
But
sure.
The point here, this makes it a little more objective. It's not just like... Or it makes it it raises the bar a little higher, right? So it's not just like, anytime your will is frustrated, it's Badavar Avod. Right, the Sma seems to be saying, "Oh, if it's Tzurich Shah, if there's certain urgency, then it's Davar Aved." In one way of reading it, the other way of reading it is saying, "No. It's like urgent plus necessary, like really necessary for the event being a good event." Right, and I like that because it raises the threshold of what's going to constitute Davar Aved. It's not urgency alone, but urgency with it being like a vital component.
He's also saying something about contracts in general. Meaning that this whole idea about Davar Avin, specifically, I guess I just saw when reading the Sma, is that this idea that there is some sort of understanding within the written language of a contract that it's not only that this will get done, but that there's like a timeline. Not necessarily, like it could be that you don't
get a timeline and that this is like really important for the
Like that has to be expressed, and if it's not expressed...
I don't know if this has to be expressed or this could be even implicit in... like the fact that you were hired to be a band at a wedding, right? So that entails that you're going to be liable for this kind of
job. Depending on the type of profession or job.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's interesting.
Yoni, you coming around or?
No, I still think the simple reading of the small. I get your point. I think the simple reading of the small more sort of what Donnie and I are arguing than just the kill call.
Donnie's come around. Donnie's come around, no?
Not once you underlined it, I went back. Just because you underlined it doesn't mean that's the main point.
Right, right.
I think when you have you're controlling the situation, you're able to try to prove your point stronger. If I was underlining the whole point, how
right.
you like unlock me.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
This isn't a fair argument here.
I'll have to give you editing power. Gabe, what do you think here?
I think I'm in Zilti's camp.
Mm. I think we're
going
to went over the
editing. I think we're going to choke
them. Yeah.
He's using that last one, which comes from the pitch down case.
So you think he's only talking about a financial loss case? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I think I wouldn't make so much of the word because that's a word which refers more to the materials.
But even if you think that's the case he's talking about, you can still agree that it's not sufficient that there's urgency. It's got to be that the urgency, uphold the urgency, failure to satisfy the urgent requirement will lead to some sort of kill. That's the... No, I think that's distinct from what the Ritva is saying. Oh, there's just going to be hefsed ritzono.
So I'd rather say that there's urgency, and if the urgency isn't met, the need will pass, right? The kilkel would be about, or which is more what Yoni was saying, not having scotch wouldn't ruin your wedding, but the need for scotch.
So that would be kilkel.
Is avar.
Like a skalkel in that.
It's a wider view of kilkel. Right?
Like, yeah.
It's just defining your sort of shot. I mean, it's sure sort of shot meaning you don't cock and you want to lock them down.
Yeah, that's just like a way of modifying the urgency.
Yeah, and what, right. what
it can't be satisfied mean? Later. Yeah. That's a your.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I'm reading it differently. I'm reading it. Yeah, are you on my side? looking for friends here, you know?
I'm not on your side.
What?
It's a better chair.
Yeah,
also, we'll get you up from Cole in like 2 weeks.
Right.
Right.
You have to sit on it for a few days. Maybe you'll come around. Okay, look here at the formulation and the... But everybody understands the reading that I'm advocating for. Yeah. Right. I guess that's implicit in disagreeing with it.
If I had to pick a side, I thought I agree with anyone,
Oh, woo! Okay, Adam, you're on my side. You're leaning towards my side. If you had to pick a side, you would be leaning towards my side.
Who says you don't have to pick a side, Adam?
Yeah.
Who gives you that liberty?
I think it's my constitutional right to not pick a side.
So, Yair, why don't you read the Pesach Toshin here for us? Parakid Aleph, Simonid Aleph.
Parakid Bar, Bethlah, Dabar, Avur, La, Dab, Be, Ibur, Mamun. Ela Kho, Dabar, Shu, Chashu, Lavalai.
Right. So, you know, here I'm inclined to think that this is the first time, maybe a second time, that the Pesachei Choshen led us astray. Because I think this formulation is way too broad. Kol davar sheu chashav lebaal habayis vayidei chazar sapol lo yaseh bizman harizek davar avud. Is anything that's important to me and it's not going to be done on time? That's already Dover Avot, such that the Poel can back out. That just sounds extraordinarily broad, right? So let's say it's chasher for me that my car, you know, be sparkly clean before I drive out in the morning. So my Poel, if I hire a Poel to do that in the morning, they're not allowed to back out because that's like a Dover Avot for me just because I like bright cars, driving a bright freshly cleaned car.
Done right now, though?
Yeah,
I only like driving. It's chashuv to me. It's important to me that I drive in a freshly cleaned car.
But he says bizmano. It seems like there's a...
Not every morning I need it.
No, but I think he's saying, and I don't know if I really agree with it, but to defend him a little bit. He's saying that there's some outside... There's a outside need. Again, I don't know how that works so well with the wedding. You already need to bury the person.
He doesn't say outside need, it's the cold over to Chashiv Lebalabayas.
It's
subjective.
But what I'm saying is all you need to say, Lo Yasem Bizmano. That the thing will not be done.
I want my shirts pressed every morning.
No, but I think we're saying that the thing has a time constraint. It's not a made up time constraint.
Through the breach, the thing won't get done. it's time. You're saying that implies there's like an objective
time. Yeah, that's not, there's some objective outside time. That's the only way I defend it. I don't think it's so good.
Right, yeah, it's a very, very intense read of Bismano, meaning like the divinely ordained time. Anything that doesn't have a divinely ordained time.
It doesn't work so well because then you could say, well, what do you, like, you're saying? Like,
what's the time for a chasana,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it's what when you want to get
married. Right. Like, so notice he cites here.
In your car example, like, I agree with you. In this reading, the call would be a little close there, 5:30 a.m., right before you're supposed to clean
but
your
only
car.
Only after the.
7 a.m., after he's washed your car and you have a whole day to find a replacement.
Right.
You'd be a little bit closer.
Right, that's true. But let's say I have a task, you know, the whole day I just assign my Poel task to do, right? Cause usually you want things done, right? So I'm saying it just seems strange to me that if the Torah is generally interested in giving the Poel the right to be chozer, right, that it would abridge it for such a narrow interest, like for the subjective desires of the employer. Like if it was more substantial to protect the employer from suffering a significant loss or from like some sort of kilkel, whether it be monetary or otherwise, those sound like legitimate interests that would override the rishis poel lachzor. The moment it becomes that, oh, anytime it's a davar chashuvli that's going to block the poel from backing out, it almost like tells you how it makes it sound like the chus poel lachzor is extremely insignificant. I think
I'm wondering whether it sounds like this relates to the notion of giving notice to when you quit a job.
Yeah.
That like in Avinano, when somebody's intending to get a job done, clean your house, whatever, to do any small task, like the poel has a responsibility to their duty to uphold and if he gives a little bit of notice and enough time to give your place.
Yeah. But then it becomes like this. We started off. This gemara starts off as like, oh, kilibin yisrael labadim is a rishus of poel lachzor, right? And now it sounds like, oh, the only time you can really back out is if I can find a replacement, right?
Or if it doesn't matter.
Or if it doesn't matter.
Meaning there are lots of tasks that I think people have that aren't particularly time bound. You hire someone to clean their house. Like, it'll do it tomorrow. It's not like.
Right, unless you need your house clean every day.
Right.
That's true. That's kind of what Gabe's saying about, oh, after the car is cleaned in the morning, then there's no longer any time pressure until the next morning. Right?
Also not, like, so far in, like we have to say we've been learning the Sigya, and we haven't spent a long time on the first part of the Chus Chazara, and actually the Neved and all those things. But, like,
right.
The Mishnah's second line is about this.
Right. Like, right, no, 100%. You're willing to say that in a chanami, this chus poel lachzor is very tepid.
Yeah, I think this is a huge constraint, but I think it's pretty integral to.
Yeah.
Also,
so the more you're liberal in defining davar aved, it's the more you're going to constrain the punch of kilibin yisrael avadim and chus poel lachzor.
In your reading, what's a case that like you don't care about? Like,
yeah.
Like, I can't see. That's what I've been trying to, like...
Right, so is that a point that when there's a... When the labor market...
You know, you live in this fast-paced world where everything has deadlines, you know? Back here.
Right. Only if you're a flax farmer, that's the only time. Do you have
a home and, like, there are like, these small things that you get repaired, your door creaks, like, it doesn't matter to you when that happens. It just needs to get done. It's like, a long list of things you can fix.
It matters to my wife when they get...
I don't know. I feel like it's like... If you're reading the Pisgah Goshen like that, like there's nothing that's outside of this that I don't.
Right. It depends. So, like for me, like I have no kapeda about when the dishes are washed. You know.
No, but you do.
No kapeda.
You do though.
But Esti's kapeda is that like if they need to be washed right away.
No,
so
right.
It really depends.
You want to eat off clean dishes at some point. So
yeah.
You don't run out of dishes.
Yeah, no, like, you
once you run out of dishes, there's plastic.
I don't think you
can go back to plastic.
You just never hit that time. I'm saying, like you're saying if you have that dirty thing in your sink for like 4 months, you'd be okay with that?
I don't know, I'd have to.
Right,
fine. So maybe there is some.
You can't have a speck of dirt on your soup, but
you're finding all this out before the shuttle comes in your house.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it does become super subjective then, right? It becomes just super subjective about how many capetas you have.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't see why you hire someone if you, like, don't really care.
Right, that was my first point, right? Yeah. The fact that you're hiring somebody to do this usually shows that you have a capeta about it, right? It getting done within a certain time or a certain way.
Yeah.
So that, I'm not saying that the Pisei Choshen makes it impossible to distinguish.
I'm saying I can't even see how it would be possible.
So that, you know, if you really have few kpedas, right, or when the labor market is, almost no kpedas, right?
How is that possible?
You have to have almost no kpedas by the time frame, and or in a case where the labor market is very elastic, that you could always find somebody else.
Having no kpeda about the zman would mean, like, I don't care if it happens.
Right, almost. Like the dishes case.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, as long as it's done, you know.
No, but like...
Within a week. As long as it's done within a week, then find me a replacement within a week, kind of thing.
But then you have... Then you are being not good on this model, though.
But the breach within the week is not going to be problematic if they could find a replacement. But it's going to be contingent on finding a replacement, then.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, that's not the classic Chozer case.
Correct.
That we've been spending so much
time on. As I think Yoni mentioned, I think Eitan actually brought this up. It's going to become what did you say?
I like said it very negatively. I've been really like.
As Yoni brought up. Sorry, I think as Eitan brought up, it's going to become complicated in the cases where the Poel has a specific kind of service that you like it the way they do it. Right? Because then you're never going to be able to find a replacement. Like, everything they do is almost like a Devar Aved. Right? What? Yeah, like the Malamed case. Yeah, so let's look at a few concrete examples of Devar Aved. Mishnah Gemara Ha'ara, the source that the Pisei Choshen cites for his idea that Kol Devar Shu Chashav Lebaal HaBayis Vayidei Chazar Sapol Le'yasa Bizman HaRei Zekeh Devar Aved is the Mishnah on Kigon Lahavi Chalil and the Meso Lekala. He cites that as the makar for this idea. But obviously, as Gabe pointed out, those are much more limited and extreme cases. Gabe, was it Yahara? At a funeral and wedding. Wait, Donnie?
Which one?
At the funeral and the wedding, they're just like extreme, like infrequent cases. Ben, you made that right? Yeah, so that's a really good point, right? It's hard to generalize from there that kol davar she'uchashav lebaal habayis, that funeral and a wedding are just like objectively urgent events.
So, there's an important distinction. No one talks.
What?
So no one, though, makes that connection. Not even in our later sources. That
they
come examples of extreme events. Like, even just the Hoshin Rid Stellar Kasha doesn't have that.
How do we know that? Well, like,
I guess
it makes it common. Right.
You're saying, I'm saying,
like,
there's no one seems to support that.
The point that I'm making. Or the point that I'm making that those are unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How. The wedding case.
Comes a few. Feel free to ask it later.
Yeah,
we're gonna get to that. Do we have it here or later on? Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, well,
so if you're on a base game, you can say Marvin Bachman or someone else.
Right, that's all subjective. But it's gotta be subjective based on something, right? So what criteria are you supposed to use?
So you're saying, like, even if you could wash your car yourself, you have all the tools and equipment, but, like,
yeah, we'll get to that. Well, let's see if we get that now. So look here, I want to give just two examples in the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch, I think it's the Ramah, gives the example of a Malamed and a Sofer as possibly being Davar Aved. So in Shin Lamed Gimel Hei, he says, Malamed Achozer Bo. Does everybody see where I am?
Yeah.
So Malamed Achozer Bo, Mikri Davar Aved, V'chein Sofer HaMekabal Lichtov Sefer Echad, V'chozer Bo, Mikri Davar Aved. So a Malamed and a Sofer. Why are they Davar Aved? So the Shach says, Pirsh, Milame Nikra Davar Ha'avod Mitam Shekol Isver Rega Shatino Kolichu Batel Upsedes Lohadar. Every moment the child's not learning, it's an irreparable loss. Okay? Vesofer HaMekabel Sefer Nikra Davar Ha'avod Mitam De Sefer B'Ksav Yad Shnei Sofer Mhu Mekulkul. This is a really interesting idea. So, if you have a Sefer Torah where the Ksav, the calligraphy penmanship switches in the middle, It's like not as nice than if the writing is consistent throughout.
But it's not a puzzle, right?
It's not a puzzle at all, yeah. Right? So notice that's a very low threshold for Dabra Ave. The fact that
like a lot of things.
What?
Like we drew for like a lot of things. That like
right. So this.
I built half your house.
That's right. I want the same person. Right, so this sounds almost like the threshold, like the Pesach Choshen.
Yeah.
Anything that's chashuv to me to be done a certain way, you, the worker, have no right to frustrate my preferences by withdrawing.
So, well, what's nice about the shah, is that first of all, it's putting things in financial, in monetary terms. Right, so now the value of the Sefer Torah, you can sell for $10,000, you can sell for $7,500.
Saying that's mekulkal or something.
That's mekulkal, and so then we can quantify it as some kind of. And the second thing is that it decreases the previous value. So this is closer to the Pishtan case because, right, if somebody could just continue to pick up from where you left off, it wouldn't change the value of the work that was done previously. And so this is causing damage. It's not just a loss of opportunity, it's damage to what was previously done.
So there's actual like monetary loss, you think?
But then
it could be.
What about the continuation, though?
Yeah, look what he says in the continuation. He says, because of this, ulfize b'melamed imamid lo miyad melamed acher yachal achserbo. Right. So if you, since the whole idea that a melamed is dever avid is because the children aren't learning, if you could swap in a substitute right away, it's not a dever avid. V'chein matino kolich batel b'zman shirigida matinokos leilich b'telim b'ein kach yachal limtza melamed acher. That's fine, right? Sorry, uvischaro, it should be, I may die. Cut this up the wrong way. I think. Oh, sorry, no. I got it right. So the idea is if the kids are at recess or they're on vacation and then you hire a new melamed in the interim, that's fine also, right? Uvischaro lichtov sefer nami im yedua delas kpeda b'chsivas yedei beis sofrim kegon shemetchila sachar beis sofrim lichtov sefer v'chiyai gavna. So if you know the guy is not machbed on having two separate scribes, he doesn't care about consistent penmanship, then there's no Isser of Chazara because it's not a Dabra Avid. So it sounds like Dabra Avid is relativized to his Kpeda. Right? So if his Kpeda is that he likes a consistent writing, then it's considered Dabra Avid. And if he's not machbed, then no.
That might just be an override.
Right, no, you're saying it's like a Mechilai. Yes, it decreases the value, but if he's not machbed, that's my reading is that like, that's why I bolded the Kpeda point. It sounds almost like he thinks that Kpeda, at the subjective preferences of the Balabais, is what's going to determine whether it's Dabra Avid.
It kind of
but I hear your counter argument.
It seems a weakened one you were saying here at first, because like at least how I was understanding it, that it's like
objective, cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you try to sell this in the marketplace, it's not going to be as expensive as
like the way Gabe was.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And now this.
Yeah, that, I think that's what Yoni was saying, that the Hemshich undercuts the objectivity of the first part. And again, I think this goes in the direction of lowering the threshold for what constitutes Dabra Avid, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Malamed case, how do you assess the passage? Say that
it's like, you know, they're thinking that every minute that kids aren't learning is like an irreparable loss.
Okay.
Not like the way we think about things. You know, there's only so much information the mind could contain, and so, you know, every moment you're not learning, it's like you're making room for more knowledge to come in.
My other option was that nonsense.
What?
More nonsense.
Yeah, more nonsense. Well, more nonsense makes more room for more substantive content. Now, some people feel this way, right? There's only like a certain amount you could actually like learn in a day. And...
Is that a real educational theory?
What?
Is that a real educational theory?
Probably not.
I don't think anyone's going to like learn 24/7.
Right.
That's not a question of
why this is the
I think it's probably a more accurate educational theory than the idea of kol eis v'regash atino kol echubatel upsedet lo hadar.
Right. Like obviously like the 5 minutes is not, I don't think anybody's gonna be mocking up five minutes. He says later, if you're not mocking up 5 minutes, it's not like a big deal. But if you're not there for like a week, that's like a week that, you know, a kid in his development is not gonna happen.
Right?
I guess, yeah.
Listen, just how do you translate this to
It's not going to return, meaning it's irreparable.
Pseidah
Lohadah. Yeah, Pseidah Lohadah is like a phrase in the Gemara. It's an unrecoverable loss. That's the... Yeah. Let me give another example here. The Marit and Chilek Beis. We saw this tshuva already. Does anybody remember this great Marit and Simen Nun? Remember, this is the great case. Did you see it again, right? Gaze on it. This is the case of the... Remember... This community hired Reuven. They hired him at the Rebbe to teach Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, Halachos. They hired him for 2 years. He was Doresh Lehem al Pi Hashem b'Divrei Hagada b'Shabbosos v'Chodashim. Right, he was darshening in Divrei Hagadata. V'Nocha Daitam Ima b'Limudo. They loved learning with him. V'Omro Lehem Musar Haskel Yom Yom Hayushosim Batzama Estevarav. Right, they were like literally they would drink up everything he said. And then this other group came along and they wanted a Rebbe and they said, this guy is so great. So, Pasuhu Beritze Kesef, they seduced him with like a good cash offer. Bekfelos Nimashah Hayunosin Lobnei Chabur, they doubled what this first group was going to pay him. And this guy didn't want to breach his contract with the first group, so they got some Rav to come in and persuade him that it's worth his while to switch. Sound familiar? And now this guy, the Rav defected. The teacher defected. He went to the second group, and now he felt bad that he breached his agreement with the first group. So he wants to know whether his commitment to the second group is binding. So we saw this earlier because there's a whole discussion about whether there's an issue of Poel being chozer for is there a het of Kelibin Yisrael Avadim if you're doing Avodas Hashem. That's how we saw this the first time. In this case, in his separate consideration here, the Marit argues that maybe the rabbi, the teacher, shouldn't have a right to be chozer because the Davar HaAved. Why? Because the first group liked him so much, and they don't want to learn with anybody else. So maybe in virtue of the fact that he's so talented and that they were so taken by him, it's considered a Davar HaAved. He's irreplaceable. Right? So this is what Eitan was asking. Like in some cases where like you have a very specific talent, like you're LeBron James or something. So like anytime you're chozer, it's going to be a Davar HaAved because you're not replaceable by anybody else. So look what he says. Look at the first underline here on page 39. He says, "Od nirali," what I highlighted, "Shatam shez kirag dolem halalu," what the second group claimed, sorry, what the first group claimed the Enu Yachal Lachzuba Mitam the Ika Pseida to have a Pseida de Lohadar. And he says, that's true because he says the only time a Melamed would be a Pseida would not be a Davar HaAved is a Rebbe for young children. Where like, you know, you get somebody to teach Chumash, you get somebody else to teach them Chumash. So you could always replace the Melamedim. That's the case that the Shach really and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about. And here I'll highlight top of 39. Aval harav shehiskir asma lilmo talmidim gedolin, and these are mature students. V'gam him atman ba'akvim lomar ein cheftzenu lilmod ela imcha, and they say, "Oh, you're the only person we want to learn with. We don't want to learn with somebody else." V'yafal gav diika didayik tfeimine, and even though there are bigger talmid chachamim out there or sharper learners, feel like Yeshua ben Nun, still ein adam lomid Torah al b'makom shalibo chafetz gim b'taras Hashem cheftzo. Right, so there's like a certain subjectivity in who you want to learn from. Then he says in the top of 40, Lo min hakol adam zoche lilmod. Right? And so he ends up saying that it is a Davar HaAved in virtue of the fact that they want him as their Rebbe, and there's a certain subjectivity in picking a good teacher.
Oh, shouldn't let him.
What?
It's getting a little weird.
Oh,
should let him get.
Yeah. Makes you uncomfortable.
What?
Makes you uncomfortable.
You say you have the how the students more interested in the teacher than in the material being taught.
Right, I hear that.
It's a cult of personality is dangerous.
Yeah, but this is not, you know, maybe he has like a...
No way to put it.
Right.
But it's because
we don't, right.
He's teaching, it's like...
Right, we don't know that it's like he was, you know...
Well, they said there's better teachers out there. And the students are refusing to...
People who are sharper. You're sharper. Maybe they like something about the way he presents, right?
Some days are not interpretation.
Right. Not up to par. You know, I don't know that it's a cult of personality issue, but even if it was, the point is that it's still a factor in that.
It
doesn't take away from it. Right. So look here in the last paragraph in that Chuvah, I read, V'lo amru socher alein omatan. Sorry. So he ends up saying that he's not allowed to back out because it's a Davar HaAved. And here in the last one, like, Tehadal karchach shibuda islei lebala bayis al gufo. The bala bayis is a shibuda guf on the poel. And he says, as we know, that lo ma'ani mechila de'abed ivri. And then he says, Alma, ain't all of tvias, mamon al tvias aguf. There is like a tvias aguf in an employment relationship. Velo amr socher aleinu matan el lefi she'eino yachal lachufo she'im hayamotze bezin hayukofen oso bal karcho. So notice, he doesn't explicitly ever say Davar HaAved, but it's clear that he's working within Davar HaAved because he cites our Gemara of Socher Aleinu Matan as the basis for compelling this Rav, this teacher, to stay with the first group. And then he says, oh, that's only like a backup remedy, right? But of course, whenever it's Socher Aleinu Matan, Yochel Lechofo, that's what I quoted earlier. V'chivan deshibuda degufe yigale, since they have a real claim that he stay with them, when he took a shvuah to go to the second group, that was a shvuah sheker and lo chai lakla. So you see, again, what we're interested in here is that he again has a very low threshold for davar aved, right? The fact that these people had a preference for this rebbe and thought that they were learning better with him was reason to think that they couldn't learn with anybody else, and that rises to the level of davar aved. Okay, that's to give us a flavor of davar aved. We'll stop here, but in the next chabura, I want to pick up a few more examples to see how Rishonim are actually applying it, to kind of as we did today. And then we'll move into some of the more substantive questions about how Socher Aleinu Matan works. Is the Mechayev Mitam Nezikin, Arev, or part of the implicit contract? That's what we'll pick up with on Thursday. Okay, Shkai.